We play a lot of his music, Alan van Niekerk. Though he seems to call himself Pastor Alan. What's fun with your fun? I mean, seriously, that's the one thing I'm proud of. I've got the same surname van Niekerk as yours. So when people start greeting you, do they start speaking Afrikaans immediately?
Yeah, some people actually do, and they know that my surname's van Niekerk. Look, I can speak Afrikaans, not fluently, but I'm...
So did you have some Afrikaans parents somewhere?
So my dad, actually, funny enough, is full on Afrikaans, and my mom is actually Portuguese.
Can you speak Portuguese?
No, I actually can't.
I could
understand growing up a little bit because of my grandfather, because he was like raw Portuguese, real Portuguese. But no, I never ever did the language.
And Portuguese food.
Yes, there's a lot of Portuguese food that's very lekker.
Okay, so then we get to know you. We play lots of your music on the station.
You.
And then you've got a new song, which always gives us the opportunity to catch up with Alan. Listen, if I can't assume that anyone's heard any of our previous interviews before. So we've got to assume that maybe they're hearing you right now and they're saying, who is this guy? Like personality, who are you?
So I'm firstly a husband. I'm a dad to two awesome children, ages 6 and 12.
Are you a fun dad?
Yes, I am. I can be serious, but I am fun. And yes, I'm at a worship pastor at Encounter Church. I've been there for the last 8 years. I've been saved for the last almost 20 years. And I worship.
That's your thing.
Yes.
I see you choose that music style above any other. Why?
You mean my style?
Yeah, the worship music itself. I mean, you can make it with a voice like yours. You can literally make any kind of. Why do you choose this one?
I think I love worship in general and what it is and what it stands for. And if people sum my style up, it's just that. It's your relationship with God. It's real. It's transparent. And worship, for some reason, has always since I got saved and before I even got into the worship. Leading worship in a church, it did something to me, man. Something happens in worship to your heart that it gives you access without permission, regardless of where you're at in life. And you're just in the presence of God and you connect with him and stuff happens in his presence and you encounter him.
Every time?
I would say yes. Yes. You know, my new song, Your Presence, I don't want to get ahead of myself, is I say to people, how can we not be moved? In the presence of God. How can we be familiar with the presence of God when a king walks into a room? And it's every time. Because if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you are genuine in your heart and your heart is pure, and you come to him, regardless of where you're at, what you're going through in life, and you say, Lord, I'm here. I want to worship you. He's there. So it's every time.
Yeah. You know, the reason I'm asking you this is I had a discussion with Mervis once. Yes. And I mean, that's his thing. It's like Guillermo Renee or Anya and Enrico. It's their thing, the worship and presence of the Lord and that kind of thing. And Mervis once told me that as illogical as it is, as incredible as God is, I mean, he's God. The 24 elders around him, they can't even stand up. The living creatures around him, they just say, holy, holy, holy.
Yes.
And somehow he found it was possible that sometimes you get to a place and you go through the motions and you never connect.
Can I just tell you something? That's one of the things that I've said to so many people and to worship leaders specifically. I say to them, when you serve God long, and I mean you've served God for long as well, there can come a place where intimacy is not there anymore and it becomes you serving out of memory. And that's when it's dangerous.
Yes.
Worship leaders, it's so easy for you to come, lift your hands in the bridge, build up, get on your knees, hallelujah, stand up, interact with the congregation, and it looks like something's going on between you and the Lord. But you're doing that because you've been doing it for so long, out of memory. Yeah. And that's the dangerous part. And what you're saying is so true, because I think a lot of people can get there. A lot of people don't want to admit that, but a lot of people do get there. I've been there. And you have to do introspection. So remember, I always say to people, remember your why. Remember why you're here today. Remember why you're getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to drive to whatever campus to go and lead worship. Mm. It's because of your love for him and why you've been called to what you've been called to do.
And it doesn't happen on its own. It's like tuning into a radio, that old radio where you still had to turn the knob kind of thing.
It's a process.
It is a process.
And I know you and I have been speaking about that beforehand, but there's a process behind everything.
And God's got a wonderful way of using life to get that process going, isn't it?
My word. Yes, 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 yes. I don't think we'll ever stop going through things. I think there's a false perception that you have being born again, that you go, life is just going to be easy. He doesn't say that weapons are not going to form against us. Mm. He says he'll always be there.
Yeah,
those weapons will form against it, but it won't prosper against us. And I think that's a misconception we have in Christianity, is that everything is going to go hunky-go-dory, and it's not the case.
Yeah. So, what have you been going through that's challenged you so much?
Sheesh, I think for me, I've always taken the presence of God seriously. And I think when I get to stages where I have to do introspection of where I'm at, what I'm going through, things in my heart, things that I need to deal with, whether it be you having a problem with whoever, a family member, you having to deal with offenses.
Mm. Especially in church.
Especially in church world. Mm. And I think that's everywhere. You realize that things can creep in very quickly, and you think you're okay, but you're not okay. And you get desensitized, and you just feel like you can't worship properly, for worship leaders that are probably listening today. And it's part of a process, you know. Your calling is not cheap. Your oil is going to cost you something.
Mm.
And that something is called the process. And we will always go through processes. In that process comes crushing. I've gone through that, and I'm still going through stuff. And I think we'll always go through stuff, because in that crushing, what happens when olives are crushed? Oil comes out.
Mm.
And that's what happens when you go through your valley. Never despise your valley, because in that valley, oil comes out that God is going to use.
Count it all joy when you go through suffering. You know what? Before we go on from that point, it's a point that brings you to that T-junction. You can now either be offended that how can a loving God take you through this stuff? How can he not protect you? How can he not stop bad things from happening to good people? You know that he's sovereign. He's almighty, all-knowing. He knows it's going to happen to you, and he doesn't stop it. And people come to that realization and say to themselves, I cannot serve a God who doesn't love me enough to protect me from this, versus someone else who says, I run to the Lord, the only one who's got the words of life, because there is no other option. It's his way or what? Not his way.
I think for me, you know, when I wrote a song, I know you guys playlisted, it's called I Belong to You. My wife had miscarried, and I remember sitting in front of the piano, and I was questioning, I was just thinking, Lord, how can you allow this stuff to happen? We also were at a place about 8 or 9 years ago where we lost everything. And I was sitting in front of the piano, and I'm like, Lord, I know I made stupid mistakes. I know that there were things that I did wrong, and I had to be mature in certain aspects, but I just didn't understand.
Mm.
And when my wife had miscarried, I sat in front of the piano, and I was thinking about this valley and just thinking about, well, what's going to happen? Am I going to now turn away from God because he's still going to be there?
Mm-hmm.
And or am I going to push through, and regardless of my natural thinking and my understanding, I'm going to just choose to believe and believe like a child. You know, through my walk with God, the thing that my wife says she respected of me all these years is that, Janine, I'm like a child when it comes to my relationship with the Lord. You can tell me now, Ellen, this has just happened. It's hard, but you're going to have to just trust the Lord. I go to a place where I go, God, you know better.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to walk away from this thing, and I'm going to trust that you are going to sort this thing out. One thing God cannot do is he can't lie.
Mm.
And I've learned to trust that over the years, regardless of what I go through.
What did it take to get there? Because I can tell you now, in the best interviews we have are people that have gone through hell, that have gone through, and they come on the other side and they took hold of God's hand. They weren't there at the beginning. Before they went through all of that, your head says, of course I trust God. But then
that's
when
how you get into those positions.
How does your heart get into that place where you say, I am fine with God's thoughts being higher than my thoughts and me not knowing what they are?
Sure. Can I tell you, one of the things I want to say is that God will allow or permit things to happen so that he can put you in the position so that you can trust him, so that he can see that you trust him.
Mm.
And there'll be not one, there'll not be two, there'll not be three, there'll be many. Until you are at that place where Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 says that you lean not on your own understanding. that you trust him regardless of anything, regardless of your natural thinking. And I think for me, there's no protocol or steps. It was just life that happened, and it got me there to actually understand from rejection. I mean, before I got saved, I was an alcoholic. I really was on my way to dying. From thinking about when I was born prematurely with my lungs being underdeveloped, to so many things happening in my life, I realized, and even recently, even the process of things happening in my life, even being in ministry and the last, say, 10 years, I just realized that every time there was something that was hard or tough, the outcome was me trusting God and seeing his faithfulness in that. And I think that just builds our faith every time. It builds our faith to see, hey, I overcame this thing. God did come through. He is faithful. So when the next thing comes and it's bigger and it's hard, you can fall back on realizing what God did previously.
Mm.
Sometimes you only know what God's done for you, or you realize what God has done in your life, is when you look back and you check what he's brought you from.
Yeah. And it tests what you think you believe.
100%.
I mean, like, we were talking about finances. Of course I believe God is the provider. Of course he's my dad. Of course, yes. It's only when you don't have the money to pay the bill that you find out, so did I actually truly believe that he's a provider? You only find out what you believe when that's all you've got. If God doesn't provide now, I'm done for.
You know, I've been in many situations like that. And that's why when people come to Taryn, myself and I, because obviously we are also pastors at Encounter Church, many people come to us and say, like, what now? You know, one thing that people make a mistake by is believing that God's delay is his denial, or that he doesn't answer you.
Because you are not always sure in any case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I can testify and tell you that at 99.9.9% all of the time, God does come through. We tend to walk away from the biggest breakthroughs and blessings because God hasn't worked according to the exact timing we want him to. Little did we know that if we stayed that extra day or that extra week or extra month or believing God for an extra hour, something was going to happen. But you just walked away. And that determined that God is now unfaithful. No, you decided not to wait.
Mm. Although I have to say, I've seen me giving up and God then still coming through. He's 4 days late is when you're convinced it's over. It's now done. 100%. I rest in the providence. And God says, now you'll know it's me. It's not you.
You know, funny about that you say that, Janine. I was in Israel in 2008. Zarin and I went on a church trip in 2008. And I received a prophetic word when we were at the Sea of Galilee. And I was like, sheesh, I'm going to go back to South Africa now. And this worship word that I just got is going to happen now.
Woo-hoo!
It's like next week I'm recording my album. Little did I know, 10 years later, I would only step into the fullness of what God said in that word 10 years later. And what if I just decided to be dumb and be like, Lord, you're not faithful. You just told me that there's this, I'm going to write songs, it's going to go all over the world, and that you're going to use my voice for worship for your glory. But I come back to South Africa and nothing happens for 10 years.
Mm.
I could have easily just walked away and said, okay, Lord, you're a liar. But I stood. And I stood and I went through many tests. Your waiting season is never a wasted season.
Definitely.
And that's what people sometimes misunderstand or don't get. It's not wasted. Nothing is ever wasted in his hands.
Because logic says, if God gave me this now, like in your case of ministry, so he gives me 10 years ago, you would have written how many songs extra by now? Yeah. Logic says it's to God's advantage to give it to you nice and early like this. You trusting God for a baby. And God waits. I had an interview with Donnie Butch and his wife, 12 years.
Mm.
12 years of tears, of heartbreak, of questioning, of doubting, of all of that. But there is such a thing as a fullness of time. And what God has to keep in mind and take into account for a fullness of time. But there's one thing during the wait. Besides what God moves in your heart, faithfulness during the waiting season is a beautiful thing.
I always say to people, if it's one thing that I heard many, many years ago, someone once said to me on the platform, you know, in seasons of transition or seasons of waiting on God, or you're going through hell and you don't understand, the only thing you can be in those seasons is consistent.
Mm.
Consistent, consistent, consistent. And you see God's hand eventually. So my advice to people is I just say, remain consistent. We know. I was declared infertile. my wife miscarried, but we were persistently consistent. And we chose to believe God. We lost everything. We had promised prophetic words and promises that God was going to do major things in our lives financially. And we had just lost everything. But you know what? We were still consistent. And we chose to believe that we're going to get out of it.
Mm.
And God would bring us out of it. And he did. And he's faithful.
I'm thinking of something like the word. Because it's funny how when you're feeling offended at God or disillusioned, we always say you don't understand God and you don't agree with what he's doing.
Yeah. That's so true.
And it's like you want to spite God by not reading your Bible or not spending time. Or whenever they're worshipping, you stand there stoically saying, you know, I am here, but God, you, and my heart is not here.
Yeah, and that's where the life is.
Exactly.
Is his word.
Exactly. And when you're saying staying faithful, being washed in the word, and times the sacrifice of praise thing, all of that is 100%. Leaps and bounds on the moon in those times.
You know, at times where I felt so offended and or I felt so hurt or I was going through things, I didn't want to get into the word of God. I didn't even want to be in God's presence.
Yeah.
But then there was like a switch for me that happened that, you know, I'm not going to make this religious. I'm going to put worship on, get into his I'm going to sit in his presence and I'm not going to say a word.
You don't have to say a word.
You don't have to say anything because you know what you lyric with your mouth doesn't matter because God hears the words of your heart. It doesn't matter what you say with your mouth because he hears what you say in your heart. And just getting into God's presence, there were times where I just sat and I would bawl my eyes out and I'm like, Lord, I don't understand what you're doing. I'm trusting you. But then there were times that I just had to get into his word because that's where the life is.
Mm.
And regardless of me feeling like I'm losing my mind, hey, his word says that he has a plan and a purpose for my life to prosper me, to give me a future, to give me a hope. And I need to believe that. I need to digest that. That's what I need to take in because that's his word and his life.
But then when it does come from you, when the fullness of time does arrive, when you see his glory, your heart is at a different place than it was beforehand. It's like you can actually... when you worship, then it is in spirit and in truth because you convinced very deep inside yourself you didn't do something right for this to happen.
100%. I think of a song called Gracefully Broken that is on my previous album, but Tasha Cobbs actually wrote it and did it. And every time I sing that song, I lead worship with that song, I always go back to the place and I think, Lord, look what you brought me from. Like I was broken. But here I am, arms wide open today, lifting my hands and I'm worshiping you. And in it, you get that moment of like in worship where you're thankful. You have this gratitude towards God because you're standing and you're worshiping and you're leading people or even in your private time. But you realize, sure, God, look how far you've brought me. Look what you've done. When I threw my hands against the floor and I was fighting with you and I was wrestling with you, it was worth it.
Talking about Tasha Cobbs, I mean, that was one of your disappointments when in 2020 you were supposed to go perform with this international artist and this.
But she's an amazing, amazing woman of God. I have a lot of respect for her. I was supposed to lead open for her in 2020, but COVID happened like 2 weeks later. And then we had the lockdown.
Yeah, the why behind the worship. Okay, before we get to the song, if people want to connect with you and your ministry and follow and just stay up to date with what you have to say, where do they go?
So you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, under Alan the Singer. You can
see, now, City van Niekerk, Donnie. I'm going to not be offended.
Me, Alan van Niekerk.
Okay,
yeah.
Alan the Singer.
It's under Alan the Singer. My personal profile is Alan van Niekerk, so you can add me there.
Hallelujah! Breakthrough.
And then, music is available on all digital platforms where you can stream music. And if you want to find out anything about the church, it's encounterchurch.co.za.
And then, your presence, the new song. Before we listen to the song, what is it that you want me to hear when I listen?
Sheesh. Now that I'm thinking of what I said to you in the beginning, I just want people to experience the presence of God. That's all I want. You know, when I said to you, The words of the lyrics is, the King of Glory is in the room. How can I stand here and not be moved? You alone are worthy. Mm. It's just about that. He is worthy. He is holy. And that's all it's about.